See if I can do this. Actually, I was here in April. If you didn't get to, sounds so terrible. It's like Yabang pride or something. I'm not prideful, but if you wanted to listen to something I shared in April, I'm going to just do a brief thing this morning, but just to recap April. But if you listen to the message in April, it's great. I'm so great. No, the message is so great because the Bible is so great. And so what I'm talking about in April is from the Bible. But my wife and I have lived in the Philippines. There, okay. My wife and I have lived in the Philippines for, oh wait, is this? Aha, Eli. we have, nobody's here, Eli, the little. Eli and Ada. Eli is 9 years old. Ada is 13. Eli was born in the Philippines. He's 9. Ada was 4 months old when we got there. Cannon, who's 16, 18, 20. Cannon was 2, 4, 6 years old, like that. And this is Panganay. She's our oldest. That's my wife, Amanda. Looks like I have like one of those presidential things on my, I think that's the, but so we've been in the Philippines for, almost 14 years, 13 years, and our ministry is True Love Waits Philippines, and we have staff, and the goal of what we do is connecting Filipino youth with God's plan for absolute purity, and I shared on last week the meaning of absolute purity is God's holiness, God's righteousness. I was, the message today, if you look on the front of the thing, it says, what if, and actually I got the what if from our friend who's a businessman in the Philippines, and we had dinner with him a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, what if, he said, the central idea that I think about when I think about my business, this is a businessman, and he said, I'm always thinking, what if we could do this, and what if we could build this, and what if we could do this and make our city great, what if I could do this, you know, and I was just so inspired by our friend in the Philippines that we went to a lunch with, and when I've been thinking about this, as soon as I went back and talked to our staff, that's the first thing I said was I shared all about our meeting, and then I said, what if God used us, what if I'm the one that God would use to bring the gospel to the Philippines? It's 100 million people, you know. What if God used me to impact the people of Discovery Bay, you know? What if God, I met, I forget the kapitbahay namin, the next door neighbor of where we're staying, the woman works for a businessman who's not really following Christ. And I was thinking, what if God used me to, what if I just said one thing and that guy came to Christ? So there's just so many what ifs when I think about the idea of what if, you know. And so when our friend who's a businessman said what if, and he was talking about business, it really inspired me to ask the question, what if? And so also, this is a challenge for you. What if God used you? You know, what if God actually used you to bring the gospel to, is that me? Am I making that noise? What if God used you to bring the gospel to someone that you know, you know? And actually, when I was in America before, I mean, I was living a lost life, met my wife, we came to Christ, started growing as Christians. Someone asked me to pray, the pastor asked me to pray, and I was like, no, please, don't ask me to pray, I can't pray, I don't want to go in front of everybody or whatever, and so I was so afraid. And actually, I'm still afraid of going in front of everybody, but I'm obedient. And I think people think that because if you're a speaker or whatever, that you have some bold, you know, or you have courage or whatever. No, I think the people who are speaking or sharing the gospel with people are people who are obedient. And so what if God used you and your obedience to impact Discovery Bay? Actually, I've been so blessed. I hope I can get to the message really quick, but I've been so blessed because I got to sit in some men's Bible studies with the pastor, different groups of people. We went to the fellowship this last night and went to several different homes, and we were so blessed to hear stories and the community. And actually, you know, if you're here visiting, you can kind of look around, but if you're also living here a long time, I met a lady this morning, Wendy. I think she's with the children right now, but I met so many people, people from Vietnam, people from Korean people who are living here, and people from India last night. Of course, Filipino people, there's Filipino people everywhere, especially in the plaza. Actually, I'm in the plaza and I'm seeing all these Filipino people. We're missionaries to the Philippines, and so I want to share the gospel with everybody in the thing. But I know I can't just go from table to table, you know. People probably think I'm crazy, you know. But what if God used me, or what if God used you to reach the Korean, the Chinese, the Vietnamese people, the Chinese people? We have some people from South Africa. I don't know. There's so many people here. And you have such a great opportunity, and there's such a great community of believers. And I'm just praying that what if God used this church to reach out to Discovery Bay? So what if is the central idea that I had in my mind, what if? When I was here last April, I was, the idea of my message was to see, to search, to saturate God's Word. To see God's Word as a treasure, to search God's Word, and to saturate God's Word in yourself and other people. And then I made an example between a cafe macchiato and a latte macchiato and a cafe macchiato. Macchiato means marks. So the message last time was marks of a true disciple. But I learned that macchiato means mark, and that a cafe macchiato and a latte macchiato is coffee marked with milk, or milk marked with coffee. And so the point that I was trying to make, and I had like a graphic that went with that, was what kind of Christian are you? Are you a Christian that has a little bit of worldliness in you? Or are you a lot of worldliness that has a little bit of Christian in you? And we really need to look at ourselves. And then when you saw the coffee graphic that I had, one was like a rich, dark coffee with a little bit of cream in it. And the other one was a very creamy thing with a little bit of coffee in it. And so that's the example. You look at your Christian life, and it's a diagnostic. It's okay to examine your life. The Bible tells us that we should examine our lives and see, you know, how are we growing in absolute purity in the direction of godliness, holiness, righteousness, and those things. And then the last three questions that I ask is, where's your treasure? What are you searching? And who has saturated you, or who are you saturating? Oh, there's the picture. Yeah, yeah. So that's the example. So which one of these kinds of a Christian are you? Are you a Christian that's a very, you know, coffee Christian with a little bit of worldliness? Or are you a very, you know, worldly Christian with a little bit of coffee in you? You get it? And so that's the point. The thing that I wanted to share this morning was, wow, there's so much. The first thing that I wanted to share was there are marks of a true disciple. There are so many things that are marks of discipleship or marks of our Christianity. There are a lot of things. But one of the central things that I wanted to share, because I'm going to talk a lot about works beyond this, the good things that we do, a lot about that. It's the rewards that God gives us and all those things. But I wanted to start by saying, so it's almost a disclaimer so that you know. I text my friend this morning. I said, wow, you inspired me. And he said, I'm not worthy, my friend from the Philippines. And I said, you really inspired me when you said, what if? And he said, I'm not worthy. And I said, I'm also not worthy to preach about God's holiness, God's righteousness, the gospel. I am also not worthy. But for our sake, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is such a great verse. They're all, like, there's a bad verse, but that is such a great verse because it speaks to, such a great verse because it speaks to the righteousness that you have, my ability or his ability to inspire me or my ability to inspire you is not because I'm righteous or holy, no way. For our sake, he who, Jesus Christ, knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That is such a great news because it means there's hope for, even you look at your husband or your ate or nanayño or different people that you know, your father, your mother, your friends, the people around you in Discovery Bay, the people who you work with. We talked to some various business people, the people who you work with, people who don't know who Christ is, or people who are, you're getting a little bit of persecution from your friends in Discovery Bay, you work with, you play soccer with or go out with, running with. you get persecution from those people. What if God used you to reach out to those people, you know, not because you're righteous, but because Christ is righteous? So the first three things that I wanted to say is God is holy, all sin and salvation is by faith alone. And I can't really, I mean, you'd have to really look up all the Bible verses, but if you want this, I can send it to you. But you can just find in God's word that God is holy. And so Psalm 22, Isaiah 57, Exodus 15, 11, Revelation 4, 8, John 17, 11, 1 Samuel 2, 2. All through the Bible, you probably know, you can find passages that tell us that God is holy. So this is my disclaimer before I get to the rest of the message. But God is holy. We know that God is holy because it's all over God's word. We also know that all have sin. All have sin. And if you notice, I didn't. I almost wrote it down wrong. I'm not saying all have sins. We all have sin. Sin that causes us to have sins. The actions that we do and the things, the mistakes that we make that go against God's law are sins. The things that we do. But the sin that we have is something that we also, we're heirs with Christ now, but we're also, because of sin, we were heirs of, I mean, we were, the sin of Adam also was given to us, and the only thing that makes us righteous is the salvation that was given to us through Christ. And so, salvation, all have sinned, Romans 3:23 and James 2:10, and there are other places in God's word where we know that all have sinned. The third one is salvation is by grace alone through faith. Ephesians 2:8, 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, being put to death in the fleshy realm and made alive in the spirit. That's the gospel. If you're Filipino, gayon na lamang ang pagibig ng Diyos sa sanlibutan ay binigay niya kanyang bugtong na anak upang sinuman sumampalataya sa kanya ay hindi mapahamak kundi makaroon ng buhay na walang hanggang. The gospel, you know, God's righteousness is given to us, John 3:16. Salvation is by grace alone through faith. Titus 2:11 is where I'm going to really go a little bit later, but even in Titus 2:11 we can see the gospel, that grace, that the salvation is by grace alone. And then the last one on the bottom there is that good works are more than avoiding moral wrongdoing. And actually, if you listen to the message in April, I found, actually, when I discover things, my wife and the kids, I'm like, they're like, Dad, you know, like, I read something in the Bible and I discover something, I'm like, I want to tell everybody somehow. But I found in Psalm 1, and I shared in April, that there's a word, sinners, and in 2 Corinthians 5:10, there's a word evil. And so even when you look at those words evil and sinners, you automatically think deliberate acts of rebellion or moral wrongdoing. But no, those words in both Psalm and 2 Corinthians, those words have nothing to do, sinners and evil have nothing to do with moral wrongdoing or deliberate acts of rebellion. Those words in those two places, the words are actually kakos and pineros, is moral evil or wrongdoing. But the one that's in the 2 Corinthians is the word phallos, which means worthless. And so when God looks at when we look at those words, evil and sinners, it's not just about moral wrongdoing. It's things that are worthless or have no kingdom value. So when God looks at our because you could be a kind of a good person all of your life and not really do anything that has any kingdom value. You know, that would be so easy to do. Even being a Christian, a follower of Christ, kind of follower of Christ, you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and that your salvation is through Him. You could spend your whole life and never really do much in regards to kingdom stuff, you know. And so God wants us to do more than avoid deliberate acts of rebellion and moral wrongdoing. God wants us to do things that change people's lives. And actually, that's why I'm sharing what I'm sharing this morning. And that's why I would really, if someone gave me the opportunity to speak or teach or train or disciple or encourage, I would do it, because I know that God is going to reward me for the things that I do in eternity that I do now. And so The reason I'm saying that is because that's a big part of what I'm going to share. So what if, that's the question, it's on the bulletin, what if? So what if God used you? And so this is going to, I'm going to try to do this, I don't know if I can do this. So when I go like this, then that's your part, and you can read it. You just say the what if. I'll read the text after the what if, but I want you to say what if, so I'm just going to go, I'm going to try this. So when I do like this, then you say what if, so.
What if?
Yeah, like that. One more time.
What if?
Right, like that. Okay, so I'll do it with this arm so I can read it on the, okay, let's see, let's try it again.
What if?
Everybody, come on, let's go.
What if?
There you go, okay. So,
what if
the Bible is true and there's a city of God coming? What if God really did create the world and men? What if because of sin entering the world through one man, Adam, there really is a curse on all men that separates us from God eternally? That's just the thing that I wrote. But the Titus 2, 11 through 14 is the next one. So, what if the grace of God really did appear, bringing salvation for all? You know what? I changed this slightly to make it in the context of asking the question, but it's the text from the Bible. What if the grace of God really did appear, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives, which is absolutely pure now in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. What if Jesus really gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions who are zealous for good works? The second part of this whole thing is the scripture from Titus 2, 11 through 14. And I kind of changed, like, what if God really, you know, I put the word really in there to make it a question. But what if God really did appear, bringing salvation? You know, when you think about all these things, I'm just saying, the question that I asked before in April and the question that I asked last Sunday was this question, if you weren't here. How many people have made a disciple? You know, and I asked people to raise their hands. And then I asked people, how many people have shared the gospel truth of who Christ is with other people, you know? And it's limited when no matter where you go, in our church or wherever you go, if you ask people that question, how many people have shared the good news of what Christ did on the cross with another person in their lifetime, in the last 6 months, in the last 30 days, it's kind of common that people don't really share their faith or even have the structure in their mind, how would I share my faith? And so in the small group with the pastor on Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday and Saturday, those times where you can sit down with the pastor. They have a book, Answers by Randy Pope, and in that book you can find the information that you need. How would I share with my friends, my coworkers, the people that I play volleyball with, the people that I work with, you know, how can I do that? That's where you find those answers. You could find those answers and be able to share, you know. But if you're not sharing, you know, then what if God did all this for you to save you, to bring you here, and then you never did anything, you know? Wow, that's in Filipino. I just think Filipino all the time. Sayang, the word is, oh man, what a waste, you know? And so the sayang is that word. It means, wow, you had the gospel, you had the truth, and you didn't share it with anybody, you know? Especially, I don't know about the rest of you from all parts of the world, but I know Filipinos, and I know all those Filipinos in the plaza. Wow, that is such a great mission field for all of you. And I would really encourage everyone to share the gospel truth with your friends. But what if God did all these things? What if God really did appear in the form of Jesus Christ, his son? What if he really did redeem you? And then you did nothing, you know? Sayang, you know? It's such a, I can't even, it's almost unimaginable that God did all this, came from to heaven to the earth and redeemed us for a purpose. One, to bring people to Christ and also to change the world around us. He came so that we would be zealous for good works. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a second. I took two parts of the last tail end of that, ungodliness and worldly passions, and then zealous for good works, and I put that together, and I just had that little part of that. I wanted to put it together. You know, God did all these things so that we could renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and become zealous for good works. And actually, even when you look at the word ungodliness, let's not just think about moral wrongdoing or deliberate acts of rebellion, because if you go back and listen to the April message, you'll see that the word sinners and the word wicked in 2 Corinthians and Psalm 1, those words are worthless or meaningless or no kingdom value. And so when we think about ungodliness, we're not just saying, oh, you stole a pencil or you lied to your boss. We're saying not only did you, it's not just about moral wrongdoing, but you never did anything with kingdom value, you know. That's ungodly, you know, that you, God gave you a message, he redeemed you, and then you didn't do any kingdom things for his glory, you know. And so when we think about ungodliness, let's not just think about moral wrongdoing, but also worldly passions, you know. And then we should become, the other side of that is we should become zealous for good works. And so I'm gonna give five examples of things, the way God rewards us. But we should be zealous for good works. The first good work that you could possibly do is share who Christ is with other people. I mean, that's the first thing that you could so easily do. But there are many other ways. Kids in the park, you know. Actually, if you look at me, you would say, oh, you're like an extrovert and you're good at talking to people or whatever. I'm so nervous right now. And every day when I go out, if I did the kids in the park thing, to approach people, talking to the guy who's the next door neighbor the other night on the steps by the plaza, I was so nervous, but I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm really trying to be obedient. And so asking you to be a part of the kids in the park or be a part of a small group or do these things, those things, God rewards you for training and growing in Christ with others, sharing or reaching out, helping. Even maybe you're not the kind of person who can, oh, I can't really play with kids, or I'm not really good with kids, but maybe you can support, like the pastor said, maybe you can support those things where the resources that God has given you, that's a way that you could be used, you know. Or maybe, like at an administrative level, maybe there are graphics or things that you could do. There are a lot of ways that God can use people besides just direct contact with a person. So God can use you in those ways. And so becoming zealous for good works is, there's so many ways to do that. And actually, the need is so great in Discovery Bay. There's a couple of things in that we see in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, and so I'll just read it. I have it here. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's one. Matthew 6:1 says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward and from your Father who is in heaven. And so if you look at those two verses, you're almost seeing the same thing. The before others in Matthew 5:16 and before other people in Matthew 6:1, it sounds like it's the same thing, but there's something going on different in the two verses. In the first one, the purpose or your motive before others so that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So it's possible to do something, a good work, so that people look at you and they see what you did and they give glory to your Father in heaven. So kids in the park or whatever kind of opportunities there are to reach out to the Discovery Bay community. But then you could also do the kids in the park thing or any other outreach that the church has. You could also do that and practice that righteousness so that other people can see it, and that's it. You want people to see the good work that you do. And then this one says in 6 that you received your reward already because you wanted really the praise of people. And so we have to be really careful. The most important thing is, where is our heart? Where is your heart when you're doing these good works? Because you could spend a whole lifetime doing missionary work to be seen by other people so that people praise you and not God, and then there's no reward, you know? And so we should do it for both reasons. Maybe there's three. God's glory, And our reward, maybe just the two, yeah. God's glory and our reward. It's okay to do something. We know God gets the glory, and it's okay to do it that you might get a reward. It's okay because God is the one who says, I'll reward you. So we don't want to downplay or downsize the reward part because God is the one who says, I'll reward you. If I said God will reward you, or if you thought maybe God will reward me and you just created that in your own mind, that would be one thing. But if God says, I will reward you, then we can pursue things for his reward. It's okay because he is the rewarder. But we have to be careful, and the one key thing about the things that we do in Discovery Bay or whatever places you have to minister in your work is motive. Before others, yeah, I said that already, but motive. We have to be careful, what is our motive? You know, what is the intent of your heart? And actually, if your motive is that God will reward you, it's okay, that can be, but if your motive is that other people can see you, that's not okay. Then you've received your reward already. And it's okay to get a reward from your Father who is in heaven because he's the one who said he would reward you. 2 Corinthians 3:5-7. He saved us not because of our works done by us in righteousness. He saved us not because of works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration of the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so I want to just keep going back to the gospel. So we don't want to disregard the gospel, that the what Christ did on the cross is the thing that saves you. But if you can just get it in your mind, Christ is my righteousness, Christ is my righteousness, Christ is my righteousness. I'm saved by grace through faith, not by my works, so that no one can boast. Yes, it's a gift of God. Christ is my righteousness. Jesus Christ on the cross, the gospel, it's all his work. Everything was done by him. If you can get past and say, it's by grace alone through faith, think about that every day. If that's the foundation of what you do beyond that, then you know that if God is going to reward you, knowing that your good works are not in pursuit of of your salvation, but that God will reward you, then you can have the freedom to do all kinds of good works, knowing that God will reward you. Knowing that God will reward you. God's word says, he saved us not because of the works done in righteousness. He poured out his Spirit on us so that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so when I saw the word heirs, and actually if you look at everywhere across the Bible, there are so many places where it talks about rewards. I was thinking, I don't know if I put it on there. No, I didn't put it on the thing. Heirs of what? Rewards of what? You know, and so if you have this question in your mind, and actually I don't know if it's okay, but Randy Alcorn gave us some books that we can just give away, and if the pastor is okay with it, we can give him some books. You could approach Pastor James and ask him, you know, Derek was saying something about this book by Randy Alcorn. We could send is whatever you would want, and it really lays out all these things that Randy is teaching from God's Word. But if you ask the question, what am I rewarded for, and is there something that I have to do, and what could I do, and where is that in the Bible? And so I remember my mom sharing to me, not pre-Christian, but as I was growing in Christ, she was always talking about these crowns. You know, when you get to heaven, you know, you're given all these crowns. And I was like, I heard that, but I never really searched the Bible. But when I read the things that Randy Alcorn wrote, he basically went through the Bible and found all these places where you can see these crowns. And the passage there will tell you, this is what God requires of you in order that he might give you this crown. Remember, he's the one who's giving you the crown. He's the one who's rewarding you. So it's not pursuing something that's not godly. So if you look in God's Word, you will see a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of glory, a crown of faith, and the incorruptible crown. And actually, in each of those, as an example, a crown of righteousness. Next to the crown of righteousness, Randy has studied God's Word and found there's three or four things that say God will reward you with a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of glory, a crown of faith, the incorruptible crown. And when you look at those things, you can see, actually I was talking to someone this morning and someone was saying, one of the members here, that someone in their family is not a believer. And that every day when that person leaves their home, at this point, it's okay for that person to go to church, but it's taken a while to get there from this person who's in the family of this person. But when this person is walking out the door and the person sees that person going to church, there's tension. And it's almost persecution. You know, it's not really persecution, you know, direct persecution, but there's tension in the air. Oh, you're going to church. What are you doing going to church? That's persecution. And one of the ways that that God rewards us, and so I was trying to encourage this person this morning that the crown of life will be given to everyone who has been persecuted in Jesus' name. And that tension you feel when you leave the house, or your husband, or your mom, or your child, or whoever looks at you, your husband, that person looks at you and you feel tension. There's a reward for that in heaven. God gives you a crown and a reward. And so I think I encouraged the person this morning to look at it differently. You know, there's still going to be that tension there, but God rewards you for that. And so we should be excited, you know, somehow get excited about the things that, because God rewards persecution, you know. It sounds odd, but that's the Christian life. It's different than the worldly life. So a crown of righteousness is given to us for those who pattern their lives for the judgment day instead of the day of temporal things, worldly passions, the passage from Titus. There's a crown of life given to everyone who's been persecuted in Jesus' name. And in the Philippines, we have a lot of people who experience that. A crown of glory is given for under-shepherds or people who lead small groups or those who take care of the church and disciple other people, the pastor, leadership, or even if you're just discipling your children. God gives us a crown of glory for doing those things when we share to our children. The crown of faith is given to those who persevered under trial, and there's so many things about that. And the incorruptible crown is awarded for living a disciplined life as outlined by the Word of God for the believer. And I wanted to ask the question, what is the motivating cause for how you live? What is the motivating cause for how you live? It's okay to pursue God's rewards for His glory and your reward. What is the motivating cause for the way that you live? And I don't know, sometimes I wonder, like, I'm praying and woke up at like 2 o'clock last night and I wrote something down. Actually, I was walking around where all the restaurants were, and there's one place and it says happy hour, not just an hour. It's one of the restaurants and they have a thing called happy hour, the big sign on both sides. Why limit happy to just an hour? Yeah, I was just walking along and I was trying to think, I didn't have the what if in my mind yet. I was kind of thinking about that. But then I saw that sign. It said, why limit happy to just 1 hour? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. I mean, we're here. I'm talking for 45 minutes. Did I go over yet? I don't know. But something like 45 minutes. And so, you know, the encouragement, the growth, the inspiration, God's Word, why limit happy to just 1 hour, you know? That's exactly what I was thinking. So then about the time I turned the corner, I saw the pastor and Martin and Paul. And I was like, yeah, I was thinking about making that my sermon title. I was going to grab the banner and bring it and stick it up over here or something. But the happiness or the reward that we get is eternal, you know. Why limit, you know, even the persecution and the You know, to disciple the Answers book by Randy Pope, it's, wow, the papers they're going through and everything, whoever's doing that, that's a lot of work, time. You have to listen to some audio. But in order to do that, to spend time doing it, there's a reward for that. And actually, those people who are being discipled by the pastor and other people, if those people will multiply what they do, you could reach Discovery Bay. I had this thought. In the Philippines, we talked to a lot of people. I was invited to speak to DSWD, Department of Social Welfare and Development, 300 kids, high school age. And then we were invited to go speak at a Bible college. And so these people are like Christians already. These people are probably not Christians. DSW, they're just random kids. And very poor. And so I was thinking, what happens if I go and we have a track that we can send via text? What if I send this track to these 300 people, then I will have done something, you know. And if I ask them to send it to one person, then I'll have reached, you know, 300 people through these 300 people. Or what if I send the track or the booklet to these 300 people, then I reach them already. Because we have this thing that we're doing, you know, it's kind of a technology thing for young people. And so I was thinking, what's the best way? And then I started doing some calculations. If I ask the 300 people, if I just send 300 to these kids from the DSWD, that's good. They need it, you know. But if I send this thing to these 300 people in the Bible college and I ask them, hey, can you send this? Don't send this to someone who doesn't know Christ, but send this thing to five people that you're leading of the 300 people, five people that you're leading. And then ask those five people who are growing Christians already, ask those five people, can they send this thing via text to 10 people? So I could just reach the 300 people, or I could take these 300 people and make them disciples and ask them to reach five of their disciples to send to 10 people who don't know Christ. You know what the number is? 75,000 people. So I was thinking, I don't want to just go straight to the people who don't know Christ. What I want to do is make disciples to reach people who don't know Christ, because it's 75,000 people. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, that is so much better. So I don't want to even, I mean, I do want to go to people who don't know Christ, but I really want to make disciples, because then I can reach 75,000 people. And it's just a better way to look at things. So what does your Christianity look like? So if you, what if God actually used you? What if the pastor said, okay, ikaw, susunod na linggo dito sa harap, you know, sa mga Filipino. What if, bahala ka, you know, what if you're the one to next Sunday? Or what if the pastor reached out to you and said, I want you to speak, would you be able to do that, you know? What if the pastor said, I want you to lead a small group or help with these things, you know? Would you be able to do that? You know, God rewards you for those things. And what does your Christianity look like? You know, does it look like this? I'm just saying, this is a diagnostic, not to make you feel bad, but just it's my responsibility to help you examine your life. What does your Christianity look like? You know, are you a growing Christian we all have sin, and we all make mistakes that go against God's word, so we all have something wrong. But is there more things in your life that are wrong than right? Or is God really working in your life, you know? And if you're in this place, there's always room for change. The last one is actually, if you look at the different passages, crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of glory, crown of faith, crown, the incorruptible crown. In 1 Thessalonians 2:17, and so this is my hope for my work today. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, what if your reward is people you've shared Christ with and people that you disciple? What if that's your reward? Because 1 Thessalonians is the corresponding passage to one of these crowns. We'll go to that. It says, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? It's a question. What is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus? And so this is important, because you might be saying, wait a minute, the crown, the glory, The glory is Jesus. No, the glory isn't Jesus because, whoops. The glory isn't Jesus because Jesus is at the end of the thing here. When Jesus comes, what is our, you know, so our hope, our joy, and our crown is what? In the presence of Jesus. Is it not you, Paul says? Indeed, you are our glory and you are our hope, our joy. And so, meaning to say, what if God changed the way you live today? Then, did I put it here? Then that would make you my reward, according to 1 Thessalonians. So then, when pagdating sa langit for the Filipinos, when I get to heaven, then, wow, you are my joy. It's not just been given a crown of this or this or this, but you are my crown. So that should fuel us to, I mean, then now a person becomes the next door neighbor of where we're staying, or the coworker, or the guy who's playing volleyball, or the kids in the park, all those things. When you get to heaven and you see that person there, that person is your joy, your hope, your crown that you will get to experience in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. You'll see that person that you shared Christ with, your husband or your children or whatever. You get it? Does that make sense? And so now, you can't say, oh, we shouldn't pursue things for our reward when the reward could be people, you know. But there are so many other rewards that God gives us. And if the pastor wants, I can share that with you, or anything that I could possibly help you with. So the last thing that I want to read this to you. You might be thinking, I'm a Christian and I know that I'm going to heaven, so why get so radical about how I live my life now? I'm a Christian. Why get so radical about how I live my life now? The missing ingredient in the lives of countless Christians today is motivation. What is the motivating cause for how you live? What is the motivating cause for how you live? We have a false assumption that what we do in this life won't have any eternal consequences. It's not just the bad things that you do, but even the good things that you do have no eternal consequences. Apart from our decision to place our trust in Christ for salvation, we're thinking, yeah, Christ is my Lord and I'm going to heaven, so I'm good. It's no wonder we're unmotivated to follow God's directions regarding the things that we do. We think, what difference will it make? What difference will it make? We don't share the gospel, we don't train, we don't disciple up, we don't lead small groups, we don't reach out to the kids in the park, we don't share with our coworkers, you know, because really I'm going to heaven, and so what difference will it make? I mean, what difference will it make? God has created us each with desires for pleasure, possessions, and power. This comes from Randy Alcorn. God has created us each with desire for pleasure, possessions, and power. Pleasure, possessions, and power. He has built us to be motivated by these desires. We've come to think of these things as temptations, pleasure, possessions, and power. We've come to think of these things as temptations, not legitimate motivations. Satan does indeed tempt us in each of these areas, pleasure, possessions, and power. But pleasures, possessions, and power are not in and of themselves evil motivations. So how can they properly motivate us? That's the question. How can pleasure, possessions, and power properly motivate us? Because they're not sinful in and of themselves. God himself appeals to each of these desires in us. He offers us a reward, a power in his eternal kingdom, Matthew 6:19-21, Matthew 19:16-22, and Matthew 19:27-20, and pleasures in his eternal kingdom, Psalm 16:11. God appeals to our human nature, but never to our sin nature. Power, possessions, and pleasure are legitimate objects of desire that our Creator has instilled in us, by which he can motivate us to obedience. So what if it's true? This is the question that I want to leave you with. What if it's true that what Jesus said about rewards in heaven, what if it's true? What if God does really reward you in heaven for the things that you do now? And what if one of those rewards is people, like the passage in Titus, you know, you are my crown, you are my glory, you are my joy, is that what it said? What if actually that's your reward, you know, that you might share the gospel with some other people? Yeah, and so As I was wrapping this up and thinking about what I was doing, I was thinking, I'm just saying, my goal in here is to encourage you or whatever, you know, you might grow in some way or whatever, but I'm also pursuing, the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing is that I want to be rewarded by God in heaven for what I'm doing now. And I know it's true, and I know God will reward me because I read it in the Bible, you know. And so you should also pursue it for that reason, for God's glory. We don't want to be so spiritual that we can't say it's not for our reward. Everyone knows it's for God's glory, but it's also for your reward. And so my hope is that what if God changed the way you live today? That would make you my reward. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, with a place to worship, a community. And last night, especially the dessert, Lord, I'm all about the Bible. And I'm really, when people sing worship songs, I'm not really a worship song kind of person. I like fellowship and all those things. But I really love the Bible. I really love to study God's Word. I really love to share the gospel with people. But even last night, Lord, the community of people, even the pastor said, but that's the first thing I noticed, Lord. The wind was blowing. I noticed the there were some candles on the table. There was a place to, it was almost like a living room someone had set up. And just the community feel was just so beautiful, Lord, just seeing that. And I know I liked it a little bit. I know my wife loved it a lot, Lord. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would use this community of believers, Lord, to reach out to Discovery Bay. I pray in Jesus' name that it would be for your glory, but that people would pursue the good works, be zealous for good works, so that you might reward them in eternity, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would make people a reward, like the Titus passage says, Lord, that the people from South Africa, the people who are Vietnamese, the people who are Chinese, the people who are Korean, the people who are, wow, there's just, it's like every nation, tribe, and Wales. We have some people here from Wales, Lord, in England, Lord, that you would use these people to reach out to their community. Even, especially, Lord, I'm so excited because even I met some people from Wales this morning in England. That means that my message, your message through me, will go back to Wales and England somehow, maybe, Lord. And I'm so thankful that, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you would just use the things that I said, by your direction, to impact people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.